From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, August 5th, 2014. This weekly podcast gives you an inside edge on technology related to all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
The Ebola virus outbreak in West Africa has received enormous attention due to the wide geographic extent over which the virus has spread. How is mapping technology contributing to the understanding of this outbreak of Ebola or other health issues? We'll tackle GIS and health on this podcast, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Directions Magazine is the leader in geospatial technology webinars. If your organization is interested in more sales leads, stronger brand awareness, and positioning your company as a key thought leader, then let us help you deliver a professionally produced live event that reaches a global audience. For more information on both our 30 and 60-minute webinar formats, go to www.geospatialwebinars.com.
Adina, the spread of this particular strain of Ebola has obviously caught the attention of the media because of the high mortality rate, but also because of the fact that it has traveled to so many other countries in West Africa. And with no known cure for Ebola, we are using maps to monitor its extent. Now we've added one particular dot on the map. As for the first time an Ebola-infected patient is brought to the United States, where he's in a specially designed facility at Emory University Hospital in Atlanta. Now, however unlikely, if by any chance human error causes the virus to travel outside the bounds of that hospital, we'll be turning to mapping technology more than ever to monitor zones of impact, travel restrictions, quarantine facilities, much like they're trying to do in West Africa. So for the purposes of this conversation, let me just go to a Wikipedia definition of an epidemic. An epidemic occurs when new cases of a certain disease in a given human population and during a given period substantially exceed what's expected based on recent experiences. Now, an epidemic may be restricted to one location. However, if it spreads to other countries or continents and affects a substantial number of people, it can be termed a pandemic. Now, with other types of diseases, especially those that could be considered pandemic, the media usually turns to a map to convey an extent. And one of the best ways to understand its extent is by reviewing some of the maps provided by media outlets or the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the World Health Organization, as well as others like Google. Adina, you write one of the only regularly published reports on health in GIS. Are maps effectively used in public health for disease awareness? And maybe specifically in the case of the Ebola virus, what is being done correctly and where can we improve our use of geospatial information technology?
Every time we go through another disease situation on the globe, we get a little bit better in putting together maps that are valuable. And what I've been thinking about a lot with the spread of Ebola, this recent outbreak, is what the maps are for. And to me, there's a couple kinds of maps. There's one that's very important, which is, where are these countries that I don't hear about very much, like Sierra Leone and
Liberia.
Yeah, I mean, those are not countries we think about too much every day here in the United States. Just that locator map. And then just a sense of which countries have had cases. And then there are some interesting ways that that's portrayed. And we've got a whole bunch of maps in our show notes. And I want to look at one or two of them just for starters. So Business Insider does a whole lot of mapping about a whole lot of things. And one of the things I love about them is their headlines, because their headlines always start the same way. This map shows.
Mm-hmm.
This map shows which states like dogs better than cats, that kind of stuff. Of course, this week we got this map shows the spread of Ebola in West Africa. And it's this tiny little map. It only has five or six countries on it. And it's only got a handful of symbols on it, and it shows areas with reported cases and areas with reported fatalities. And these are regional, so there's no dots on the map. And I'm not sure how valuable this is for us over here watching from a distance, and I'm not even sure how valuable this is to people in country to help them figure out where they should or shouldn't go. If I don't know if that was the intent, but it certainly doesn't provide that level of detail. Now, the most valuable map to me as I look through the piles and piles of maps comes from a very long and detailed article from the Daily Mail, which also has a very, very long headline. Ready? How deadly Ebola has spread across the globe. Health officials try to trace 30,000 linked to death of American victim as Nigerian film star sparks outrage by fleeing Africa in a mask on first-class flight. That's the actual headline.
Very tabloid of them.
Well, and that's and to be fair, they are tabloid. But to their credit, they have pulled together a whole bunch of resources and photographs. And if you scroll down, way, 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 way down, you come upon this photograph from Doctors Without Borders that shows the treatment facility in Guinea. And it's got little dots on it and explains what each of the buildings do and what happens when you come in and what happens when you go out. And it gives you a sense of how they're trying to ensure that infected people come in and only uninfected people go out. And that map, at a very large scale, I think is incredibly valuable to calm the fears of both those folks in country and those folks watching from afar.
Yeah. I want to go back to the point you made about the map from Business Insider. What struck me about the maps that were provided was, just as you had indicated, how valuable they are by showing these regional extents, or other maps show just points on a map of where there are cases. Is that in itself enough detail that either health workers need to know, or whether it's being communicated to the public in the most effective way? I almost thought that if they could have mapped the individual cases, then created a heat map, and then just to show the extent. And then that got me thinking, is that a valuable map? Because there's got to be two purposes. One, they're either trying to identify where the host is, or they're trying to contain the virus. And are either of those types of maps valuable? So maybe identifying the host at this point is irrelevant.
The person who has the disease.
Who originally had the disease. And now it's gone to the extent. And do any of those maps convey that information effectively or not? And I'm not sure there's any maps that have done that so far. So I guess I'm wrestling with, are the maps doing any good at all?
Well, again, what's the goal? Is the goal to explain what's happening, which is what a news map typically is trying to do, or is it a map that's trying to influence behavior in a certain geography, basically saying, hey, there have been reported cases in this area, probably best to stay away at this point. And many of the maps that I've seen in the traditional media places like Business Insider are really not aimed at that. They're aimed at speaking to the folks at a distance.
Okay, and if that's the case, we are seeing just a map of extents. And so it either does or does not affect you. Oh, it's really happening in a land far away. So it's effective in understanding that more than an isolated case of this virus is spreading. If I take another example, if I went to the MERS virus or the bird flu pandemic or anything like that, we were still only treated to maps of the extent, not necessarily anything that would necessarily impact me. And what I wondered from there is, do we need other kinds of maps? Do we need a map, for example, of the transit routes from these countries to other countries that may be impacted, because a lot of what has been in the news where people flying to different areas of the world who may have been exposed to the virus. So I'm wondering, in your experience, do we need other different types of maps?
And I'm going to keep going back to this key question, which is, what kind of information are we trying to convey? And sometimes it's the newspapers trying to convey things, and sometimes it's the authoritative health officials who are trying to convey information. And so it really matters what it is you're trying to say, who you're trying to say it to, and who is the authority. So the one map that you were talking about, there's a map from Quartz, which is one flight away from Ebola or something. Mm-hmm. And it has airplanes leaving the region where there is Ebola, and how it just takes one person on one flight to take it out to Europe and the United States and Asia and everywhere. To me, that's sort of an opportunistic map. it's valuable in the sense that it puts the epidemic in context of those countries that think it's all happening very far away, but in point of fact, it could be much closer than you think.
Right.
The other problem, and we have to keep coming back to this, is how do we get at that data of suspect cases, confirmed cases, and track who those people came in contact with? Because we've got to remember that despite the fact that the death rate is incredibly high with Ebola, it's pretty hard to catch it. You've got to be in very close contact to somebody who is either ill or has passed away who had it. That is very hard to convey in a map.
Right.
And the conveyance of that information from the authoritative sources, from the folks from the World Health Organization, from the CDC, those folks are telling that story. They're telling it on the radio. They're telling it in newspapers to make clear that don't freak out. This is hard to get. The challenge for them is getting that information to the people in country, because that close contact is very important culturally when you're taking care of somebody or when you're going to bury them.
Right.
So in that case, I got to be honest, the maps sort of go out the window, and what we've got to do is get individuals, authoritative individuals that the locals can trust to explain that if your person is sick, get them to the quarantine area. We'll take care of them the best we can. And then afterwards, we may have to tell you to change your pattern of how you're gonna take care of them after death, if that's what happens.
Right. Let's just expand the conversation for a second to look at what we would consider maybe more impactful to us personally, which is perhaps yearly flu epidemics. If we look at how that kind of information is conveyed, there are several sources out there that could show you what your level of possibility of getting the flu on a state-by-state basis. There are maps out there like that. There are even some maps that try to direct the possibility of contracting the disease on a city-by-city basis. We know that other people have used Google data to look at the instances of searches to perhaps predict where the next flu outbreak could be, and they've tried to translate that into graphs and maps as well. I think those maps can be effective. I don't know how often they're used, but it's one type of information that is nicely conveyed on a map. I just wonder how useful it is. But it is a map that I might refer to if I wanted to see what the current outbreak of flu is in my geographic area.
It is. And I think the information you might take away from that is I should be somewhat careful, or I should be very careful in terms of washing hands and all those things that we do to prevent ourselves from getting the flu. But I don't think you would use that in the same way as I'm not going to travel to this city because they're having a flu outbreak. Would you? Maybe you would.
That's a really good question. That's a really good question. If I knew that there was a high risk. Well, I think it goes to the question of a baseline. What's the baseline in that city? Is it truly reached epidemic status in that city? And if it did, I might avoid it. I think that would be. I would like to see a map, and maybe a more detailed map of what zip codes were highly impacted. I guess going back to my original argument is, I think we need better maps sometimes. I think we need more detailed maps. In the case of a flu, which we know is going to occur every year, maybe somebody put out a map where I could see that zip code was more highly contagious. I might avoid it. I don't know.
And here we come to all these issues of data, right? Mm-hmm. You may think you have the flu and you stay home and that's fine. But then unless you go to the doctor and the doctor confirms that you do in fact have the flu and reports it, or you go to your local doctor and it's reported to the local public health authority, they don't know you have the flu. Okay, so that's the official data. The unofficial data, of course, is the noise that we get on Google, people searching. You can get it on Twitter too, people saying, I think I have the flu, I have flu symptoms, and you can geocode that.
And that may be more valuable than going to your doctor, because your doctor may be in an entirely different zip code than you are.
So there you go. We've got all kinds of issues of getting good data and then putting it in some meaningful way on a map once we get it. And then, of course, we have the time lag. Right, the CDC maps are typically weekly in the United States.
Yes, right.
I think they only go down to the state level. I don't dig into that too much. But even those, you wonder how active they are. If you look at this U.S. map of influenza summary update data, this is the week ending May 17th is the last one I have pulled up here. it has some really weird information in the legend. So we've got no report, no activity, sporadic, local, regional, and widespread. And this is a state-by-state map. So I have no idea what the difference between local, regional, and widespread means in terms of cases.
Hardly effective or hardly useful,
Hardly useful to you and me as citizens, but perhaps very useful to local public health officials in these states. Again, who is this map for?
Mm-hmm.
It's not for me because I don't understand it.
Well, and I hardly would think it would be valuable to state officials. Big deal, right? I mean, it's in my state. Where?
Well, there you go. And that comes back to who you're communicating with and where do we get our information? Do you go to the city of Huntsville if you've got concerns about local public health issues? Do you go to the state of Alabama? Do you go to the CDC? And does it matter which kind of disease we're talking about?
And are they getting all the same data? You know, the baseline of data could vary. We don't know what's being passed from the states to the CDC.
And there are certain mandates, certain kinds of things must be reported up, and other things are not. Right, and I'm not very familiar with that, but I know there are specific guidelines. So some data goes up, but some does not, and some just doesn't get reported.
I think we have more questions than we have answers at this point. I'm not sure we've arrived at any specific guidelines as to what maps are needed or not needed. And as you said, it's all coming back to the data and the validity of the data and the frequency of getting good data.
Right. And with that, I would like to close by just pointing out some super horrible, awful maps. And these are the maps that come from globalincidentmap.com.
Right.
And they've got a whole series of maps. You've got Amber Alert maps and hazmat situation maps and forest fire maps and terrorism event predictions. And I'm looking currently at the disease outbreaks map, which has lots of different symbols all flashing in different colors. And I learned that the page automatically reloads every 300 seconds, so my data is up to date. Where the data is coming from, I can't be sure. But there is a scrolling list of the latest events, like in China, there was some dengue fever, and there were 17 cases of something I've never heard of in the Bahamas. And some of these are animal, and some of these are human. And if you scroll down even further to try to figure out who has put this thing together, you probably will not know, because it doesn't say. But what it does say on this map is copyright 2012.
Yes,
so whoever put this thing together has been sort of ignoring it for a while. So this is not an authoritative source, and anytime you look at any of these maps, be they in the newspaper or even from the CDC, make sure you know where the data is coming from, you know the date of the data. You got to get to that metadata to make sure you're confident that this is an authoritative source.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. And from us here at Directions Magazine, please find more information about our Geoenergy Summit, November 12th and 13th in Huntsville, Alabama. We'll have the director of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, Mr. Robert Cardillo, as our keynote speaker, and Mr. Mark Reichert, the president of the Open Geospatial Consortium, as our special guest speaker. More information can be found at geohuntsville.com/conference. If you'd like to comment about our podcast today, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine, or send us a tweet at Directions Mag. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.